Good morning. It is always such a blessing to see the early risers here. And you are such an inspiration to me. The smiles on your faces when I get up and I'm walking up or coming up this way and seeing everyone that's standing on the mountainside just taking in the view. It's just an amazing thing to witness, to know that we are all experiencing God here together. Those of you who suffer through pain, and I can see you here, and I see you struggling in every step, I want to tell you, you really inspire me. Because so often people will allow the pain in their lives to interfere with the plan that God would have for them. And I say that from a place of understanding because I have a disability. And among the symptoms of that disability is diagnosed a condition called agoraphobia, the fear of the open spaces. So when I was asked to come to Mountain View, I was a little apprehensive. It's not the open spaces, really. That's how they define it. But it's because of my condition, the way that activity can aggravate it and cause my symptoms to be aggravated, I have a fear of going out. And so when I was told that I would have to fly into Pittsburgh and then rent a car and drive, I didn't know where. I was a little concerned.
The end of the road.
Follow the road to the sign that says heaven just ahead. And I went and looked at the map of this campground. And I saw something that as soon as I saw that on the map, the Lord just comforted me. And he spoke to my heart, and he said, you belong there. And I do. I belong here. Amen. Did everybody get a card, the little envelope with the cards? Did anybody not get the little envelope with cards? Raise your hand. Well, see, Ricky, you did a really good job this morning. Okay, over here. We got one over here, Ricky. Did everyone pick up 5 cards this morning from the table back there? Okay, if you didn't pick up 5 cards, please go ahead and go back there or have Ricky, just get some cards and bring them up and hand them out to them. We had just under 300 names given to us yesterday. And each one of those names were lifted up in prayer last night. And there's just something wonderful about praying for others. There's something wonderful about following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our intercessor. And so we're going to have that privilege also again today as you are collecting those 5 cards. We got right here. Where's Kathy? Is Kathy here? There were some people asking how they would have access to these cards throughout the day. Is there a place where we can put these where they can come to that bowl and just draw out names, possibly in this room or something?
Yeah.
Would that work? I have no... Wherever you think would be best. Right, there's an empty booth right here. Okay, we're going to put the fish bowl with all of the names over here. So anytime you would like to throughout the day, you can walk over there. And let's do it this way. Put them all in the bowl. If you take them out and pray over them, lay them around the bowl. And we can see how people are being prayed for as the bowl overflows and the cards are laying around the bowl. So as you pray for them, just lay them around the bowl and we'll keep taking them out until they're all empty and we'll put them all back. And we'll work that, we'll try to work that way. But several people have asked me, and so that's really a wonderful thing to know, that we're all going to be praying also throughout the day. I'd like to share a verse with you before we have our opening song and prayer. It's from Isaiah 43, starting with verse 1. Isaiah 43, starting with verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let's all stand for our opening prayer. In song, okay. Thank you. loving Heavenly Father, we need you. We plead with you, dear Father, for your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, look down upon us now. Look down upon me. Empty me of self. Empty us of self, dear God, that you might fill us and reside in us, that we might have an experience of your presence and your love and your faithfulness, that we might have healing to our hearts and know, dear God, and believe, dear God, and live, dear God, that all things work together for their good to them who love you. Father, we love you because you loved us first. And we thank you for the promise of your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every 2 years, the North American Division Prayer Ministry has a retreat. Last year it was in Innisbrook, and that's when I was invited. Actually, I was invited before that. That was when he finally talked me into it. I always pray about things, even when I really want to do them, because I want to make sure that even though I really want to do them, that it's something, even though it's God's work, it's something that God wants me to do. And so when he came to me in Monterey and asked me, the Lord had spoken to my heart, and so here I am. But 2 years before that, I had been asked to go to Innisbrook, the prayer retreat in Innisbrook in Florida, and our prayer coordinator in our conference, her name is Janet Louie. She's very much responsible for allowing the Holy Spirit to work through her and guide her to have impact as to where my ministry with the Lord is today. But she was asking me if I would go to Innisbrook. And I prayed about it. And as I prayed about it, I just wasn't getting an answer that was affirming that I should go to Innisbrook. So I told her that. I said, I'm just not getting a yes when I pray about it. And so I will make any materials you want me to make. I'll do anything you want me to do to prepare for the prayer ministry out there, but I'm just not inclined to go. And then she would call me again and she would ask me again, are you sure you won't go to Innisbrook? And I'm like, Janet, I'm just not getting that from the Lord when I pray about it. And this went on for a while, and then she finally, you know, gave up and quit asking me. Well, it was when she gave up and quit asking me that I was praying and I was doing my devotions one morning that it seemed like the Holy Spirit just took me a totally different direction and put in my heart that He did want me to go to Innisbrook. And sometimes I think God does that. I think God lets you think one thing for a while just so you'll realize that when you do say yes, that you're doing it for Him. Because I knew when He put that in my heart that if I went to Innisbrook then I would be going because the Lord really wanted me to go. And not, I really wanted to go to Innisbrook, to tell you the truth. But I wasn't getting it from the Lord yet. And so when He put that in my heart, I said, well, Lord, if that's truly You and You really want me to go to Innisbrook, then You have Janet ask me one more time. Our God can do anything, and I let Him. I expect Him to. When you expect Him to, He does it. And so a couple of days later, Janet called me, and she said, you know, Michael, I know you said you didn't want to go to Innisbrook, or you weren't going to go to Innisbrook, but I just wanted to ask you one more time. Janet, I'll go. Not only did he have her ask me, but he used the exact same phrasing when she asked me. So I knew indeed that it was God's will that I go. And I was preparing all the materials, and sometimes as it is, as a resource person for the prayer ministry, all the prayer coordinators don't know, sometimes the Spirit hasn't led them as to what they are to present, and they don't know until the last minute. I get this flood of requests at the last minute. And so I'm working on all these materials for all these prayer coordinators, and I'm just pushing through with everything I've got to get these things done. And by the time I get it all ready, by the way, I have to weigh my suitcase before I go anywhere, or I'm going to pay an extra $70 or something like that. I'm like loading all my papers in a little thing I can pull, and I'm putting everything else in another suitcase because I carry a lot of books, you know, weighs like books. And I was so exhausted when I got on that plane. And I remember sitting next to the window, and I put that little pillow up against the window, and I laid my head against that pillow, and I said this to the Lord. I said, "Father, good luck blessing me in Innisbrook. I am so tired." And He spoke to my heart, and He said, "Not only am I going to bless you, but I want you to share a story there." And I'm like, "Really? I haven't been asked." And so when I get to Innisbrook, the prayer coordinator for the Pacific Union Conference and the prayer coordinator also for the West Coast came up to me and she said, "Michael, I know I asked you to share a testimony, but things have changed and you're not going to be able to share that testimony after all." And I'm looking at her and I'm like, "Now that is interesting, because you didn't ask me. And God just told me. And you're telling me a different story now." And I just have so much faith in God, I just looked at her and smiled. And I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, I'm going to have fun watching to see how the Lord works this all out. And I go, "Okay." And so since she told me she had asked me, but I couldn't, I started praying and thinking about the story that the Lord had put in my heart and preparing that story to present, even though Karen had told me I wasn't. And like 10 minutes before the prayer retreat was supposed to open, she came up to me and she said, "Michael, everything fell through. I need you to share a testimony after all. Do you have one?" And I said, "You know, yes, I do." And that is the story I'm going to share with you today. There was a congregation that was so surprised when they walked into their sanctuary on Sabbath to see a table in front that was covered with pies. And they went in all looking at the table with all the pies. Kathy knows this story. She heard it. She was in Innisbrook. So they saw all these pies and they sat down and they listened to the pastor give his message for that morning. And at the end of the message, he looked out over the congregation and he said, "I want each family, a member from each family, to come forward and to get a pie and take it home with you. But when you get home, I don't want you to eat it. When you get home, I want you to take that pie and I want you to pray to God and I want you to ask God who it is He wants you to give that pie to. And I want you to take that pie and give it to whomever it is the Lord speaks to your heart about." But that's not the story I want to tell you today. The story I want to tell you today is the story about the burden in my heart for my sister. You see, my sister and I, as I had mentioned before, we weren't Adventist. We happened to go to whatever Protestant church was closest to us. She was older than me, and she always took care of me as a child. And I always remembered the joy that we had together as we worshiped God, as we went to church. I remember the pictures that were taken of us in our Sunday clothes. And I always regretted that my sister at best, at that time in my life and in her life, my sister at best was a nominal Christian. And she didn't really have a relationship with Jesus. And so she was a burden in my heart that I prayed for and that I loved so much. And there was one thing that happened as I realized, as I prayed for her, that God took that burden. He left the burden and the burning in my heart for my sister. He left that in my heart, but He took the weight of that burden away. He took the weight of that burden away. And He made me realize that there, you don't need to carry the weight of that, because I'll carry the weight. You just lift her up to me and you trust me. Don't you try to manage how this works. You just live your relationship with me and I will shine through you. I will make her see me through you, but you don't have to manage this. You just lift her to me and trust me to take care of the details. That sounds like the same advice that Kenneth Cox gave to me when I was going to start observing the Sabbath on board submarine in the United States Navy. That's sound advice. It's okay to carry the burden, but if we're weighed down, somehow we have to learn how to surrender that weight and that burden to our Lord, to trust Him with that. So as I was praying for my sister, I always remembered how Christ said that we have to have the faith of a child. And I prayed, I'm like, Lord, I remember the faith as a child that we had as children. I remember that faith that me and my sister shared together as we went to church together. So dear God, please, Father, bring that faith, that childlike faith to her life and her heart. Bring her to that place that my sister Becky and I always enjoyed together. Then I got a phone call from my sister. And Becky asked me, she said, you know, Mike, I miss you. And I really wish you would just come out and visit. Now, she lives in Indiana and I live in California. And when she asked me that, the first thing that came to my mind was, no, I don't travel. There's only one way you'll get me to travel, and that's for the Lord. And I had a big neon no in my mind when she said that, but I didn't have a chance to answer her. I didn't have a chance to answer her yet, and her next statement was, I just wanted us to relive our childhood together. And I go, I'll come. And I said, Becky, I'm working on something really important right now. I can't give you a time when I can come, but as soon as I finish this project that I'm working on, I promise you I will get an airline ticket and I will be out there to visit you. And I was working on one of the largest projects I had ever had for the Lord at that time. And I was praying about it, and I really had an obligation to finish this. And the impact of my finishing it was going to impact pastors. And so it was really important to me, and I was praying about it. And then I keep working along on this project, and my sister called me again. And she said, Mike, I just found out I'm going to have open heart surgery. And so I talked with her. And as I was talking with her and I was praying at the same time, I was still being impressed that I had to focus at the time, for the time being, on this project. And I told my sister, I said, well, Becky, I will keep that in my prayers. And I'm working very hard. I will work out as to come out and visit you as soon as I can. And I could tell that just wasn't the answer she wanted. She wanted to hear me say, I'm on my way. And so when I got off the phone, I was praying about this and I was crying out to the Lord, because the weight I could hear in my sister's voice was weighing on me. And I was calling out to my Father, and I'm like, Lord, my sister needs me. Father, please, I want to go to see my sister. But I was still getting a no, you've got to finish this project. And I said, but this is my sister. And he said, but I am your father. And I said, okay, I trust you. I trust you. So, dear Lord, help me finish this project so that I can go and be with my sister. And I worked on the project, and it was Monday night, and I was praying for my sister. And every Tuesday morning, the prayer ministry goes on our phone call. Every Tuesday morning, we pray for all the leaders of the church. We pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the body of Christ. We pray for big things. And I was praying for my sister, and it kept speaking to my heart to ask those prayer leaders to pray for my sister. And I said, Father, I am not going to interrupt that prayer call for my small problem when we pray for such big things. But it just kept speaking to my heart, no, you are to go before them and give them that burden. And I said, Lord, if that is your will, you open the door, because you are a God of order. So I went on the prayer call the next morning, and I was being very quiet that morning. And I was just listening. And I was listening to the prayers. And after the prayers were all finished, Ruthie Jacobson, the prayer coordinator for the North American Division, said, Karen, may I share a story? And Karen said, of course you may. And Ruthie said, I want to tell you this story about this pastor and his wife that I just met in Ohio, that they wanted me to come on this line this morning because they have a burden in their hearts for their daughter. Their daughter left the church, and they just really asked it if I could come on this line and if we could pray for her. And she said, her name is Becky. Becky's Creek. I'm where I belong. When I heard that, I said, I've got to share with you. I go, I have a Becky. I have a Rebecca. And I shared with them what I just shared with you. And that morning, we prayed for every Rebecca in the world. Every Rebecca in the world. And I got off the phone and I was praying, and the Lord put it in my heart, it's time. You can go. And I looked at my project and I went down my checklist, and I realized I hadn't even known it, you know, but I was really essentially at a part where I could finish that project and pass it off to the next person responsible for it. So I did just that. And being disabled and being on a fixed income, all I had to travel with were my frequent flyer miles at that time. And I went online and I looked to see what was available using my frequent flyer miles. And the only reason I had them is the Lord had sent me to Norway earlier that year. And so because of Him sending me to Norway and me being obedient, I had the frequent flyer miles. And I looked at the frequent flyer miles, and the only dates available were two dates. And so I took one of those dates to go home, and I picked one of the other date to come back. And I called my sister and I told her, and she was just so happy. She was so excited, and I was so thrilled that I could see I was answering the heart cry of my sister. And then later that very day, she called me back and she said, I found out when I'm having my surgery, and you're going to be here for it. So I flew home, and I spent almost a week with my sister. And she, as I was visiting with her, she was telling me about these neighbors that she had met that were excited to meet me, that they were Seventh-day Adventists, and that they had been visiting her. And as I sat with her in the backyard and I talked with my sister, I heard wonderful questions being asked. And as we were sitting in the backyard one night, the neighbors were all walking their children through the neighborhoods. My sister Becky said, "Oh, here's the couple I told you about. They're walking," and she motioned for them, and they cut through the grass and they came into the backyard and they introduced themselves. And they told me that they were Seventh-day Adventists and how they had met my sister, how my sister had been such a wonderful neighbor to their kids and things like that. And I paused and I looked up and I go, "How is it that you did meet my sister?" And the wife looked at me and she goes, "Well, you know, one day we were surprised when we walked into church one day and we saw a table in front of the church covered with pies. The pastor asked us to bring one home and to pray over it and to ask the Lord to reveal to us who He would want us to give that pie to. And the Lord put your sister in our hearts." And this was like 2 years. I had been praying for my sister. I had been asking God to influence her. I did not know He had already done it. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that we can trust with that weight of it. We can have the burden, but let Him carry the weight. Trust Him. Don't put our God in a box. Don't let the weight of our love for our loved ones distract our view of Jesus, because our loved ones will see that. Let Jesus shine through no matter what the circumstances. And so while I was visiting, my sister was going to go to church with me on Sabbath. And when I got up that Sabbath morning, I walked out into the kitchen and I saw my sister sitting there, and I never saw her being attacked by the devil as much as I could see it in her face. And I sat down and she told me, she goes, "Mike, I don't know why." She goes, "But I am just surrounded by fear. Fear is coming from all directions." And I sat there looking in her eyes and I didn't know what to say. And all I could do was pray. And I had nothing I could say, and it just broke my heart. Nothing came to mind, no verse, nothing. And she goes, I don't think I could go to church with you today." And I said, "That's fine. That's fine. You take care of yourself. That's fine." And so I went to church without her. When I got to church and I opened the bulletin, there was her name for prayer. We have an awesome family. We have an awesome family that we lift people in prayer like that. And it just really blessed me. And I took the bulletin home and I gave it to my sister. When the prayer ministry learned that I would be going out to visit my sister, and they knew the circumstances, Janet asked me, she said, "Do you think your sister would let us have a conference call of prayer for her?" And I said, "You know, I was praying that you would ask, and I don't know, but I will ask her when I get there." And so when I got to Indiana, and I talked to my sister and I first visited with her, I told her about Janet's offer, and Becky said, I would absolutely appreciate it. So we scheduled for Sabbath afternoon for me to take the cell phone, and we invited the neighbors, the Adventist neighbors, we invited members of our family, and I took the cell phone and I was able to put it on speakerphone, and we gathered around my sister that afternoon, and the weight of fear was still on her. And when we started praying, I knelt down by the footstool. She was sitting in her favorite chair, and I knelt down like this, and I put the phone on speakerphone, and as I kneeled and prayed, I was watching under prayer. I was looking at my sister, and all the different prayer coordinators from the West Coast was praying. And then when Janet started to pray, she went to Isaiah 43 and she said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Fear not." I never told her. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by a name. You are mine. I have called you by name, Becky. You are mine." And as Janet read that verse and she prayed, I looked up at my sister and I saw the enemy cast from our midst. I saw her countenance change and she was glowing with faith. And I, at this time, I did look up and I did expect to see angels, because I knew they were in our midst. My sister was never the same. She had such faith and such confidence that the next day she had planned a party so my friends could all come over and visit and see me while I was there. And she just was all over that house, all over that yard, just tending to all of us like there was nothing wrong with her. Then the next morning, we got up, and as a family, we went with her to the hospital. And they let us go back into the room before they rolled her out to surgery, and the whole family gathered around her, and I was able to have prayer with my sister, for my sister, before she went to surgery. So we went out into the waiting room and we waited. My sister never survived the night. But praise God. In my visit, I saw that He brought her to that place that I had been praying for. That's all I ever hoped for. That's all I ever wanted. And so I miss my sister. But this is my favorite story, because this is the story that tells me that my sister and I are going to enjoy eternity together. Amen. This is the story that God gave me that can share that joy in your lives for the burdens you care, for those you love, the God who answered my prayer so specifically and so detailed to make it happen in such a way that I have absolute confidence that I will see my sister again is the same God that will do that for each and every one of us. It's the same God who will draw those who are in your hearts right at this moment into His presence. Nothing will stop Him. Nothing. We just have to be willing to look. We have to be willing to wait. We have to be willing to believe. And He will do all of these things. At this time, I would like for you to take out the cards. These are the names of someone that someone is carrying in their hearts, a burden for souls. And as this next song, we're going to play a song, and as this is on that CD, by the way. As we listen to this song, pray over those names and pray for the names that you have. Remember when I started this week, I prayed and I confessed that we do not know what to pray for as we ought, Romans 8, 26 and 27. But God has promised that He would send the Holy Spirit to intercede. As you listen to this song written by my dear friend Jim, prayer coordinator in Colorado, this song called Pray Through Me. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your hearts as to how to pray for the names in front of you and the names in your hearts.
Father, I don't even know how to speak about this thing. So Father, send Your Spirit now to come and pray through me. Search the deep recesses of my soul.
Pray.
Father, we don't even know how to speak about those, dear Lord, we love. But we thank you, Father, that you have promised your Holy Spirit to pray through us. But more importantly, dear Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would live through us, that they might see the joy, the love and the faithfulness of our Lord in our lives. Father, we have this bowl filled with names. But to you, dear God, it is more than a bowl of names. These are people. These are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so, Lord, as we lift them up to you, we ask, dear Father, that we would remember that we are lifting them up to the God who created them in the first place. We are lifting them up to the God who shaped and formed them in His image. And so, Father, we lift them up also, dear Lord, asking that you would breathe into them the breath of life. And give us, dear Lord, the strength and the confidence to know that we serve a God who has an answer to every burden of our hearts. Oh, dear Lord, what a joy it will be to see the names on these cards in your kingdom. What a joy it will be to see my sister in your kingdom. What a joy it will be to live throughout eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, 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 dear Father. We thank you for hearing our prayers, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we will have our closing song, and I would like Larry to have closing prayer afterwards. Please stay seated, though.